This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ما بعد. We are continuing our series about the descriptions of heaven and hell, and we are still on the descriptions of Jahannam. And one point that I want to stress here before we move on is that if you actually take the time to read the number of verses in the Quran about Jahannam, you will actually find that they are not as numerous or as many as the verses about Jannah. And that the descriptions are actually pretty succinct, they're pretty concise, they are not that elaborate. And this is in contrast to what a lot of people presume or think, that the Quran is full of lots and lots of explicit details of imagery and fiery descriptions of punishments and torture. And in reality, if you actually gather up and you do an analysis, it's not that many verses that are describing the punishments and the tortures. And of course, the point is that the main emphasis of the Quran should and must be the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. But there must also be the fear aspect, because as we know, when it comes to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously love is the primary emotion, but along with love there is also hope and fear. And the primary emotion of love must run throughout the Quran. And the main incentive of hope, and hope is in Jannah, is going to be a very major theme. There must be fear as well, because without fear, what happens is the lazy people don't, you know, do their job. What happens is you need, as we understand, the carrot and the stick. You need the incentive, and you also need the fear factor in case the incentive is not good enough. But the primary incentive is always the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the rewards that Allah has promised. And we thank Allah, we truly thank Allah, that in our religion we don't have to distinguish between the love of Allah and the desire of the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because some understandings of Islam, some theological, if you like, philosophies, they say that to desire Jannah is somewhat improper. It is tarnishing your purity of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their understanding is that you should only worship Allah for Allah. You should worship Allah sincerely to Allah and for the love of Allah. You should not worship Allah either to desire Jannah or to be fearful of Jahannam. And this is not in accordance with mainstream Quranic theology derived from the Quran. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And in the famous hadith of the Bedouin who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, look, I cannot memorize any of the murmurings that all of you do. He's saying that all of these long du'as that you do, or you meaning the Sahaba, and you know what they're hearing from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, all of this dandana is the murmurings. He goes, I can't memorize all of that. All I ask is that, oh Allah, grant me Jannah and save me from Jahannam. And the Prophet sallallahu found this amusing, and he said, all of the murmurings that we do, it is around what you are asking for. What you're asking for is exactly correct. حَوْلَهَا نُدَنْدِنُ. The point is that we thank Allah. Imagine if desiring Jannah and being fearful of Jahannam was something that infringes upon the purity of worship. How few amongst us could reach that level where we're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purely for the love of Allah. That is very difficult to conceive of, to even do. And that is why we thank Allah that Allah has said, Allah has given us and Allah has said that, look, worship me for the love of me, and when you do so, I shall give you this reward that you shall desire, and when you do so, I shall save you from the punishment that is painful for you. In other words, love, fear, and hope are interconnected. You cannot have one without the other in mainstream Quranic theology. We thank Allah for that. There is nothing wrong with worshipping Allah because you desire Jannah. There's nothing wrong with not doing a sin because you're fearful of Jahannam, because all of this is linked to the belief in Allah. In the end of the day, if you desire a sin and you don't do it because you're scared of Jahannam, where is that fear coming from? That fear is coming from a belief in Allah and a belief in the power of Allah and a belief in the accountability of Allah and a belief in the servitude that you have to Allah. All of that belief is a sign of Iman. The same goes for desiring a reward. And by the way, generally speaking, desiring a reward will incentivize you to do a good deed, and fearing punishment will incentivize you to avoid a sin. This is another point, because what incentivizes you to give $1,000 rather than, you know, 500 or 100? What incentivizes you to wake up at tahajjud? What incentivizes you to pray the sunnah mu'akkada every single day? You want the reward. So to do good deeds, generally speaking, you're doing it out of a desire for reward. And then you desire a sin, you desire alcohol, you desire drugs, you desire to steal money, nobody's watching and you can take some money or embezzle some money. Then you realize, oh, I have to be fearful of the fire of hell. Allah might punish me. So generally speaking, the good deeds are incentivized by the hope of Jannah, and evil sins, they are incentivized to avoid by the fear of Jahannam. And all of this is linked psychologically to the belief in Allah, to the love of Allah. So anyway, I wanted to begin with this intro, because I didn't mention it before, that some people, they problematize Jahannam and they say, oh, you know, these descriptions are all such vivid imagery and, you know, there's so much punishment and torture. And we respond, firstly, go ahead and do the research. Go ahead and dig deeply. You will find in reality that the descriptions of Jahannam are not that frequent, and that they are succinct, they're concise. They do the job, but they are not, you know, throughout the entire Quran in vivid detail. And then number two, yes, they are there, but then do not forget that there's other aspects as well. And when you put the whole program together, when you, the package deal of worshipping Allah out of a love of Allah, desiring the reward of Allah, and fearful of the punishment of Allah, that is the simplicity of our faith. It is all interconnected, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Now, that having been said, let us move on to some other aspects of Jahannam that we'll be doing today. And we'll begin by mentioning the concept of the doors of Jahannam, the gates of Jahannam. So Jahannam has gates, Jahannam has entranceways, and these are the only ways to get into Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these gates in the Quran, and they're also referenced in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, the Quran tells us the exact number of gates. Surah Al-Hijr, verses 43-44. وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ لَهَا سَبَعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِّنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَقْسُومٌ. And verily, Jahannam will be their meeting place, the meeting place of those who rejected Allah. They will meet their fate in Jahannam, all of them. لَهَا سَبَعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ. Jahannam has seven gates, seven doors of Jahannam. Every door has been assigned a group amongst them. Every door has been assigned a group amongst those sinners, those tyrants, those dhalimun, those evil people. Every single group, they have one group, or every single group of people, they have somebody assigned, or they know where Jahannam is going to, which part of Jahannam they're going to be in. Now this also, from this we can derive that in all likelihood, different sinners or different categories of evil people or different kuffar are assigned to different levels of Jannah and different doors of Jahannam. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِّنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَقْسُومٌ. Every single door they have been assigned a group of people. So the fact that there is a correlation between a particular door and a particular group of people, it is as if we are being told, there's nothing explicit, but it is as if we are being told that specific sins are linked with specific doors. For example, the sin of arrogance, for example, right? And again, this is not something from the Quran and Sunnah explicitly, but there are references, and also there are statements from the early scholars, the Tabi'un, and many of our commentators of the Quran and Hadith, they mention this. But to the best of my knowledge, there is no verse in the Quran or explicit authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that links a particular crime with a particular door of Jahannam. This is something that we derive. It is not explicit. We also learn of the doors of Jahannam in Surah Az-Zumur. Surah Az-Zumur, and this is mentioned in the Quran as well. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. That the people who did kufr, they will be dragged or they will be gathered together in batches to go to Jahannam. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا. When they get to Jahannam, فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. The doors or the gates of Jahannam will be flung open. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا. And the guards of the gates of Jahannam will say, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ. Didn't the messengers come to you? يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ. They were reciting to you the verses that are coming to you, and they're warning you about the day that you're going to meet. قَالُوا بَلَى وَلَكِنْ حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. They will respond, indeed, that we did have prophets come, but we did not basically respond to the prophets. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَادْخُلُوا أَبْوَابَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Enter the gates of Jahannam to dwell therein forever. And this phrase, enter the gates of Jahannam to dwell therein forever, it occurs multiple times in the Quran. And from it we derive, anybody who enters Jahannam through the gates of Jahannam shall never be expelled, shall never leave Jahannam, right? So entering through the gates of Jahannam is assigned for those who shall permanently abide in Jahannam. As for the sinners of the believers, as for the righteous who deserve to be punished for some sin, they're not fully righteous. They are people who have mixed good and bad, and their good is not as much as their bad, and they deserve to be punished. That group of people, they shall not enter Jahannam through the doors of Jahannam. They shall not enter Jahannam through the doors of Jahannam. Rather, they shall enter Jahannam, as we said, either by falling down from the bridge, the Sirat, or they're going to be the people of the A'raf, which we will talk about, inshallah ta'ala, in a future lecture. So, this verse as well mentions the doors of Jahannam. And there are other references to the fact that Jahannam is going to be trapped or completely locked up. Of them is Surah Al-Humazah, that Narullah Al-Muqada, Allati Tattali'u Ala Al-Af'ida, Innaha Alayhim Mu'sada. That it is the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been kindled for them, that goes up to their chests, and they shall be encircled and locked up. إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَ. مُؤْصَدَ, the meaning of this is a very deep noun, and it means that they shall be permanently engulfed and surrounded, i.e. they are in jail basically, they shall never leave. So مُؤْصَدَ, they are trapped. The fact that they're trapped means that there's going to be walls around the fire of hell, and this means the gates to get in are going to be shut permanently. And the concept of the gates of Jahannam, they are mentioned in multiple verses as well. And multiple ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. For example, in the famous hadith in Tirmidhi, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the first night of Ramadan, the shayateen are chained up, and the evil jinn are chained up, and the gates of Jahannam are shut, so that not a single gate is open, and the gates of Jannah are all flung open, so that no gate is closed. This hadith is again very clear. The gates of Jahannam are going to be shut. This means that Jahannam has gates. Now, when we get to the concept of Jannah, we will talk about this again, that Jannah actually has 8 gates. And this is mentioned not in the Quran, but in the hadith. For example, in the famous hadith of Sahl ibn Sa'd, radiallahu anhu, that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fil jannati thamaniyatu abwab." Jannah has 8 gates, and there is one gate that is called ar-rayyan, which is meant for those who continuously fast. And in the famous hadith of Umar radiallahu an, that he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَتَوَضَّأُ فَيَسْبِغُ الْوُضُوءَ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنَ التَّوَّابِينَ إِلَّا فُتِحَتْ لَهُ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ الثَّمَانِيَةِ يَدْخُلُ مِنْ أَيِّهَا شَاءَ. That none of you makes wudu properly and then says the kalima, and as the dua, O Allah, make me from those that are repentant. None of you does this except that the doors of Jannah, all 8 of them, are going to be flung open. So, Jannah has 8 doors, Jahannam has 7 doors. Now, Jahannam has more people than Jannah. I repeat, Jahannam shall have more people than Jannah. And yet the number of doors of Jahannam are fewer than the number of doors of Jannah, despite the fact that the inhabitants of Jahannam are more than the inhabitants of Jannah. Why? When Jahannam is going to be larger and bigger, and the inhabitants will be many, many, many times more, then why are the doors to Jannah more and the doors to Jahannam less? Our scholars have given a number of responses. Of them is to indicate that the mercy of Allah always overcomes His wrath. That Allah Azza wa Jal is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. That the paths to Jannah are easier and more and better for you. And of them is to give people a sense of hope, to incentivize that Jannah has 8 doors, it has more doors to enter from than the doors of Jannah. So the point is to show hope and mercy wins in the end of the day, and to incentivize to us as well that getting to Jannah, it is possible. There's 8 doors there, and there's only 7 to go into Jahannam. Despite the fact that Allah has made it so easy, still most people will turn their backs on faith, and most people will not think too deeply about why they are here, what is the purpose of life, or they will recognize the truth to the faith and then reject Islam. And really, the one who recognizes the truth and is too arrogant to accept, this person deserves all that is coming to him or her. And also, the one who lives the life of an animal, even though Allah created him a human, the one that does not understand there's a higher purpose, the one that does not take advantage of the intellect and of the concept of, look, I'm here for a reason, and why am I here? What is the purpose of life? And they just live for the day and for the moment, and they don't even think about, okay, who is God, and what is the purpose of me being here? What's going to happen after death? Well, they have spent an entire lifetime in callousness, and it is a type of arrogance. It is a type of arrogance to not care about why we are here and to just enjoy the moment. And so they too, these are the two main categories of those who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also learn from the hadith, as far as I know, there's no verse in the Quran that is explicit in this regard. We learn from the hadith that Jahannam is a very deep place. That Jahannam is not something that is shallow. It is far deeper and far more vast than we can imagine. It is beyond our imagination. There are numerous traditions that tell us about this reality. Of them is the hadith in Sahih Muslim that the Sahaba were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they heard a thump sound. The sound that comes from the bottom of a well when something comes to the bottom. Now, there was no well in this masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no origin for that sound that they can see, but they hear very clearly something that is falling and then it reaches its end. And this is a miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the Sahaba to hear something that is not from this world. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you know what that sound is?" They said, "We do not know. Allah and His Messenger know best." So he said, "This is a stone or a rock that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent into Jahannam over 70 kharif ago." Kharif is like years, or 70 eons, or 70 units of time. And again, time and space are totally different in the next world, so we don't know the meaning of kharif here. But 70 units of time in the past, 70 eons ago, Allah released a stone. Of course, 7700, as you know, I've said this multiple times. It is their method of saying a dozen times, 100 times, like it's a number that is giving you an approximate. So Allah Azza wa Jal released a stone in Jahannam, and it is going down non-stop for so long until finally it reaches the very depths of Jahannam. And that thump sound that the Sahaba heard, Allah Azza wa Jal miraculously caused them to hear that sound. And also from the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, we also learned as well the same concept that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, same concept but a different narration, different sahabi, that if a stone were to be thrown in Jahannam, it would fall for 70 kharif, 70 units of time until it reaches the depths of Jahannam. So this shows us that Jahannam is very, very deep, and it is also very vast in size. And of course, a number of hadith warn us about this. That, for example, in the famous hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sometimes a person might say a phrase and he doesn't even consider it to be evil, and because of it, he falls a great distance in the fire of hell. Yahwi biha finnar. Now, this type of phrase, it could be a phrase that indicates arrogance, a phrase that puts some righteous person down, a phrase that a'udhu billah ridicules the religion or ridicules Allah and His Messenger. He doesn't think about what's the big deal, and it shows arrogance. Now, the meaning here, we should not become, we should not go to the other extreme here, that we should be monitoring our thoughts. We should not think evil thoughts that if we make an accidental slip up, we're going to go to Jahannam. No. What is meant here, the slip up, we call it in English the Freudian slip, right? Something that indicates what is hidden in the heart. That sometimes a person might say something that indicates a level of arrogance, a level of kibr. And that phrase, our Prophet ﷺ said, it will cause him to fall into the depths of Jahannam. Yahwi biha, he's falling deep into Jahannam. So all of this is indicating that Jahannam is a very deep place. It's not something that is shallow. And it is also a very vast place. And we know this, again, from multiple evidences. Of the evidences, and it's also related to our talk here, is that the people of Jahannam, the quantity of them is far more than the quantity of the people of Jannah. And this is something that is pretty explicit in the Quran and in the Sunnah. That even though the paths to Jannah are easy, and even though the Jannah has 8 doors, and even though there are so many gifts and miracles that Allah has given mankind, the miracle of prophethood, the miracle of sending books and revelations, the miracle of the intellect, and people of sound intellect should be able to realize that there must be a creator and that there is a purpose of life. Even though all of this is there, still the majority of mankind, for either arrogance or to follow their desires. So these are the two main causes. In Arabic they're called shubuhat, kibr, or shahawat. So they are too arrogant to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they know the truth. And that is the worst category, and it is represented by Iblis. That Iblis knows the truth and he refuses to submit. And then the other category is that you recognize the truth, or you're too lazy to search for the truth, but you want to follow your desires, right? It's your shahawat, your pleasures, they get to you, and you'd rather just not be a Muslim, not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not care about your purpose in this world. So these are the majority of mankind, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they will be in Jahannam. Allah says in Surah Yusuf, verse 103, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. The majority of mankind, even if you desire it, Ya Rasulullah, they will not believe. The majority of mankind will not believe. Surah Saba, verse 20, وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلِيمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ فَاتَّبَعُوهُ إِلَّا فَرِيقًا مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Shaytan gave the prediction, and he said, and he assumed that most of mankind, I will have power over them. And Allah says, this assumption of shaitan, it is going to be true, except for a group, fariq, of the believers. In other words, the majority of mankind will follow shaitan, and shaitan will be winning over them. Only one group, so the fact that it's one group, it's a minority, fariq. One group will be saved, and that is the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at the very beginning of creation to Iblis, he says to Iblis, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكَ وَمِمَّنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Surah Sa'd, verse 85, that I'm going to fill up Jahannam with you and with all those who follow you. I'm going to fill up Jahannam. So Allah is talking about Jahannam being filled to the max, to the capacity. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةِ رَبِّكَ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ Surah Hud, verse 119. And the command of your Lord shall be fulfilled, that I shall fill up Jahannam. Fill it up with mankind and with jinn and ins. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ In my previous series of lectures, when we talked about Ya'juj and Ma'juj, we talked about the famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ saying that out of every 1,999 are going to go to Jahannam on the Day of Judgment. So the Sahaba said, how can we possibly beat those odds? And so he said that, oh, for every one of you, there will be so many of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And of course, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are from the children of Adam. So, and also in other hadith, the indication comes like almost 99% of the people will go to Jahannam. Now, of course, you know, these are not mathematical statistics. The point of these hadith should not be taken. Obviously, literally, the world has more than 1% Muslim. So, yani, the point is that these are hadith that are meant to be like a large majority of mankind are going to be going to Jahannam. They should not be used to derive equations that the precise number. The point is that the threat is there, that the default in mankind is to not be religious. And we see this around us. And that's what the famous scholar Al-Qurtubi mentions, that if somebody were to say, how come the majority of mankind is going to Jahannam? We respond, well, because the majority of mankind are not worshipping Allah. They have chosen this path. They have chosen to follow their desires and to lead their lives away from the guidance of Islam and not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they will get the fate of those who turn down the religion. So all of this is meant to indicate that Jahannam must be a massive place beyond anything we can imagine. And in fact, there are even traditions that suggest that the sun and the moon will be there in Jahannam, not that they're being punished, but the people who used to worship them will see these objects. The fact that these objects are in Jahannam indicates how large Jahannam is. And of course, in the hadith in Bukhari as well, we learn that Jahannam is going to be dragged onto the plains of the Day of Judgment with 70,000 chains. And each chain has 70,000 angels on it. So do the math, how many angels? And again, 70,000 means yani, around that number. So we're talking about more than a million angels. Each angel is far stronger than any human can imagine. And they are having to drag Jahannam. That shows you the size of Jahannam. It shows you it is a massive creation of Allah beyond anything that we can imagine. So all of this demonstrates that both the depth and the width and the breadth of Jahannam is massive. It is something beyond our comprehension and understanding. Another aspect of this reality is the fuel of Jahannam. And this is again something that is very explicit in the Quran. The fuel of Jahannam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the concept of Jahannam having a fuel. And of course, Allah does not need to link Jahannam with a fuel. Allah can cause Jahannam to burn on its own. But the concept here is being sent to emphasize the punishment of those that will be in Jahannam, that they shall become, as it were, the fuel of Jahannam. So the Quran is very explicit that those who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the false gods that were worshipped besides Allah, they will become the fuel of Jahannam. And this is multiple verses in the Quran. Of them, the very first or second page of Baqarah, if you like, third page to be technically correct, that فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ So beware of the fire of hell, whose fuel is men and stones. And it is prepared for those who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Surah Al-Jinn, verse 15, Allah says, وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا And those that went beyond what they should have, they shall be a hatab. They shall be a fuel, a source of fuel for the fire of hell. And in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 98, Allah says, إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ حَصَبُ جَهَنَّمَ أَنْتُمْ لَهَا وَارِدُونَ All that you worship besides Allah, and all of you, you shall be the hasab of Jahannam, and you shall indeed enter it and remain there. So the term waqood and the term hasab and the term hatab, these are three terms that are used in the Quran, and all of them have similar meanings. If you go to the lexicons, you might find some variations, and this is a good exercise to do. What are the minor variations between waqood and between hatab and between hasab? But in reality, there is an overlapping meaning to all three of them, and that is they are used to kindle the fire of hell. Allah Azza wa Jal is explicitly saying that the people who worship false gods, they shall become the very fuel. Their bodies will become the fuel of Jahannam. Along with that, stones will be there. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ The fuel shall be people and stones. What are these stones? And it is mentioned as well, إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ حَصَبُ جَهَنَّمُ You, along with the gods that you worship, made out of stones, are going to be the fuel of Jahannam. Why are stones mentioned here? Some have said that the reference to stones is the actual idol themselves. That the idol that they worshipped, of course the idol is not being punished, it's not a real entity. But that idol that these people worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be in Jahannam to humiliate them. You thought that this entity created you? You thought that sacrificing to this object that you created with your own hands and living your life worshipping this false god is going to protect you? Here is your god within Jahannam with you. So that is one interpretation, and it's a valid interpretation. Another interpretation is that the meaning of stones here is a type of charcoal. It's a type of fuel itself. That, like charcoal itself, it is meant to make it even worse, the fire. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is using a special type of charcoal that is going to make the fire even hotter. This is the second meaning of al-hijara. And the third meaning of hijara here, and of course all of these meanings are valid, is that Allah is basically saying in the Quran that the ferocity of the heat of Jahannam is so strong that the object that you use in this world to extinguish the fire will be used by the fire of hell to become the fuel of the fire. You see, imagine you have a campfire, right? How do you extinguish that campfire? You take pebbles, you take stones, and you just throw it on their dust. You take it and you just cover it. If you were to take a big rock and you throw it on a little fire, khalas, it is gone. And Allah is saying that the fire of Jahannam is so powerful, it can consume that rock and it can convert that rock into fuel. The ferocity of the heat and the intensity of the flames is such that the fire itself, it will utilize that stone to become even more powerful. So these are three meanings of the concept of the وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Number one, the hijara here are the idols themselves. Number two, the hijara is basically charcoal and it's going to make the fire even more. And number three, that the intensity of Jahannam is so much that no matter what is thrown into it, it will convert it into a fuel. And so and all three of these meanings are equally valid. Also, another interesting point that we learn from the Quran and Sunnah, both the Quran and Sunnah, is that the fire of hell is actually conscious. It is able to see, it is able to comprehend, it is able to dialogue, it is able to discuss, it is able to ask Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is able to challenge those that are thrown into it. And of course, this makes it even more terrifying. Jahannam is conscious. Jahannam can recognize those that are going into it. Jahannam can see and talk to the people and threaten the people and mock the people that are entering it. And so it makes it even more terrifying. And this concept is of course mentioned both in the Quran and in the Sunnah. As for the Quran, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ This is Surah Qaf. When we say to Jahannam, are you full? And Jahannam will say, are there even more? Are there still more people? Now, this is a question that Jahannam is asking Allah. Are there still more people? And two interpretations, both of them are valid. The first one is that Jahannam is shocked or surprised after all the people that have entered Jahannam. And Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, are you full now? Are you completely full? And Jahannam is shocked. Are you still sending more? I mean, how many more people are going to come? So this is a rhetorical question coming out of an amazement. And the second interpretation is that it is a boast or it is a threat to those that are being punished, that go ahead and send them, I'm ready to take them. هَلْ مِن مَزِيد? Go ahead and send, I am ready to take even more people. And of course, both of these meanings have a separate eloquence of them, and they're both valid interpretations of this verse. The point that we're deriving from this verse is, Jahannam answers Allah, and Jahannam says, are there still more people coming? And there's a hadith in Sunan At-Tirmidhi, also narrated by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, that on the day of judgment, a flame will come out from the fire of hell, and that flame will have two eyes, and it will have two ears, and it will have a tongue. In other words, the flame will see and hear and speak. And the flame will be saying, everybody can hear this, that I have been assigned for three people. I'm here to take three people. Number one, every tyrannical, arrogant person. And number two, whoever worshipped a god besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, whoever carved images, you know, the ones who carved the statues and whatnot. So those people, Jahannam is going to be telling or yelling on the day of judgment, come, I will take you now. So Jahannam is able to hear and see and talk and comprehend. It is not an inanimate object in that sense, that it is an entity that has its own consciousness, and the people of Jahannam will recognize that consciousness, and it will add to their terror when Jahannam itself is engaging with them, talking with them, threatening them, mocking them. All of this is to add to the punishment of Jahannam. And there is another verse in the Quran that one can derive this concept from, Surah Furqan, verse 12. Surah Furqan, verse 12. إِذَا رَأَتْهُمْ بِمَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّضًا وَزَفِيرًا. When Jahannam sees its people from far away, when Jahannam sees the people that are coming to it, then they shall hear Jahannam, and they shall hear it doing what? تَغَيُّض. تَغَيُّض is the noise of somebody when they're angry. And زَفِيرًا, and زَفِير is like the wolf might growl, you know, when it's angry or irritated or about to attack. The lion might growl. So the people of Jahannam will be recognized by Jahannam. إِذَا رَأَتْهُمْ بِمَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ. Notice, إِذَا رَأَتْهُمْ is Jahannam seeing them, not them seeing Jahannam. When Jahannam sees them from far away, they shall hear Jahannam fuming and growling, and the sparks are coming. So Jahannam is aware, and Jahannam is cognizant, and Jahannam is recognizing its people, and the people will then hear the response. And what is the response of Jahannam? تغيض وزفير. And this is an indication that Jahannam is ready to take them on, to challenge them, to devour them. And the anger of Jahannam is palpable. Jahannam, of course, as we know, I mentioned this hadith in our last lesson, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Jannah, Jannah, that you are my mercy, and through you I will show mercy. And Allah said to Jahannam, you are my punishment, and through you I will show my anger. And so, Jahannam is angry at the anger of Allah. And these people who deserve to be punished, Jahannam will show its anger, which is the anger of Allah. And Jahannam will growl and fume and fret, and you will feel, the people that are going to Jahannam will feel and sense that anger. So all of these are some of the descriptions of Jahannam. And of course, one last point for today, and then we'll resume next week, inshallah ta'ala, as well, in the same thing, the descriptions of Jahannam. One of the last things that we'll discuss today is, of course, a concept that really, it's understood, the fire of hell is a hot place. And the intensity of the heat, and the descriptions of that heat, are something that also we need to discuss and mention in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And of course, there are a number of verses that mention the fierce intensity of the heat of Jahannam, and the fact that Jahannam is far hotter than anything we can imagine. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Tawbah, verse 81, that the hypocrites, they did not want to participate in the Battle of Tabuk, because the Battle of Tabuk took place in the month of June and July, in the summer months. And they said, وَقَالُوا لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ. Let's not go march in the heat. And Allah says, قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرًّا لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ. The fire of hell is far hotter if they only understood. So of course the fire of hell is far more extreme in its heat than the fire of this world. And there are many, many narrations of this. Of them is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this fire that you have in this world, this fire that the Son of Man does, it is 1/170th of the fire of Jahannam. And in another version, it is 1/100th of the fire of Jahannam. So the fire of Jahannam is 70 or 100 times more ferocious than the fire of this world. And there are narrations as well in some books of hadith that mention that the fire of Jahannam is so hot that even if a small narrow passage, the size of a needle, were to open up, this entire world and all life on it would cease to exist. And of course the Quran mentions this. For example, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah mentions, وَأَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ فِي سَمُومٍ وَحَمِيمٍ وَظِلٍ مِّن يَحْمُومٍ لَا بَارِدٍ وَلَا كَرِيمٍ. The people that are going to Jahannam, what will make you understand what they are doing? They are in scorching fire. فِي سَمُومٍ وَحَمِيمٍ, and in scalding water. And this is another point that is common in the Quran, also in Surah Ar-Rahman as well. The notion of the heat coming from two sources, the fire and the water. So heat is not just coming from fire in Jahannam. No, Jahannam is also hot because of the hottest type of water that we cannot even imagine. And so they were going to be walking between the fire of the heat of the fire and the heat of the scalding water. And this is mentioned explicitly in Surah Ar-Rahman as well. فِي سَمُومٍ وَحَمِيمٍ وَظِلٍ مِّن يَحْمُومٍ. And a shade of black smoke that is neither cool nor beneficial. So this shows us that Jahannam is not a bright place. Jahannam is not a place of lights and casual. No, Jahannam is asphyxiatingly smoky. Jahannam is murky and dark. Jahannam, you cannot see anything. There's no light at all. You don't see anything. Why? Because the Samum and Wahamim wa dhillin mi yahmum. And dhill is the shade and yahmum is the heavy smoke of the fire. It is something that causes a person to go blind. It is something that causes somebody to not be able to breathe normally. And so we learn from the Quran and also from the hadith that Jahannam is a smoky place. And this is mentioned in the hadith in Bukhari as well, that the dust of the one who walks in the way of Allah will never be combined with the dust of the smoke of the fire of hell. So it gave a beautiful metaphor, because what is smoke? It is dust. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who becomes dusty going on an expedition in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that dust will protect that person from the dust of the fire of hell. And we also have in Surah Al-Muddathir as well, سَأُصْلِهِ سَقَرُ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سَقَرُ. I will drive him to Saqar. And what will make you know what Saqar is? لَا تُبْقِي وَلَا تَذَرْ لَوَّاحَةٌ لِلْبَشَرِ. The fire of hell will leave nothing. It shall leave nothing. Nothing shall remain behind after it. And it shall make the skins completely full of soot, completely darkened with the muck and with all of that smoke coming on over there. So the notion of Jahannam being smoky, asphyxiating, dark, and Jahannam being full of both the fire and the hot water, it's a very nasty place. Even imagining it, a'udhu billah, we seek Allah's refuge. And in Surah Al-Mursalat as well, we have the same concept reiterated, that انطلقوا إلى ظل ذي ثلاث شعب لا ظليل ولا يغني من اللهب. That proceed to a shadow of smoke, basically, of three columns. These columns they're not cool shade, nor will they help you against the flame. لا تغني من اللهب. That generally speaking, when there are shaded areas, you find shelter in it. And Allah is saying the ambience of Jahannam is shaded, but that shade is not a shade of comfort. It is a shade of terror. It is a darkness of terror. It's not going to protect you against the fire. لَا ظَلِيلٌ وَلَا غَنِيٌّ وَلَا هَبٌ إِنَّهَا تَرْمِي بِشَرَرٍ كَالْقَصْرِ. That it is throwing out sparks as huge as fortresses, as if large yellow camels are being thrown out. So imagine a camel, which is twice the size of a human. A spark that comes from Jahannam. Allah is saying, you know, in this world, if a spark from a fire, you know, touches you, it just burns a little bit, you just rub it off. That's it. You know, just that little spark that comes. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, the flames of Jahannam are like fortresses. And the sparks that come are like the entire camel. And Allah says the yellow camel, you know, كَأَنَّهَا جِمَالَةٌ صُفْرٌ. So again, the concept of yellow, because it is a fire. So an entire massive camel, it is one of those small sparks that are coming from Jahannam. And of course, the fire of Jahannam is never going to die down. كُلَّمَا خَبَتْ زِدْنَاهُمْ سَعِيرًا. This is mentioned in Surah Isra, verse 97. That every time the fire dwindles, every time it goes down, we shall rekindle it. Every time you think it's heading down, no, it's going to come back again. It will constantly be rekindled. The fire of Jahannam will never cool down. We will discuss in a future lecture as well the notion of the eternality of Jahannam and the fact that, of course, the position that seems to be very explicit from the Quran and Sunnah is that Jahannam shall never, ever, ever cease to exist, and the people shall be in Jahannam till the very, basically there is no end to it, till all of eternity. I will mention the slight controversy that exists in this regard. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions as well in the Quran that وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِّرَتْ, when the Jahim is rekindled, meaning it's constantly going to be rekindled. Now, all of these put together, they demonstrate obviously the ferocity of the heat of Jahannam, and the fact that Jahannam is composed of multiple types of punishment. You have the punishment coming from the fire, the punishment coming from the smoke, the punishment coming from the scalding water. Now, the Quran does not explicitly mention coldness. However, the term zamharir has been interpreted by some, like Ibn Abbas and others, because the Quran mentions that one of the descriptions of Jahannam is zamharir. It's a very rarely used word, zamharir. And Ibn Abbas has said that zamharir is a special place of Jahannam that is going to be punishing people via the opposite of heat, and that is freezing. So we have another mechanism of torture, and that is the freezing cold. Now, to the best of my knowledge, there is no explicit verse in the Quran other than this derivation of the word zamharir, and also there's no explicit hadith to the best of my knowledge about the coldness of Jahannam, but an interpretation of a companion carries huge weight, especially when that companion is none other than Ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the primary interpreter of the Quran. And of course, it also fits in with the concept of the punishments being varied and the punishments not being of one particular type. So if this is the case, and there are references of Ibn Abbas saying that people will be taken from the worst of the heat to the worst of the cold. The cold is so cold it will freeze your bones, for example, right? So obviously imagine that type of torturous cycle as well. And there is one final point that we want to mention as well, and that is that the heat of Jahannam, the heat of Jahannam, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that it has some type of effect in this world as well. And there are a number of hadith to this regard. Of them, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith is in Bukhari, that pray Salat al-Dhuhr, basically. Pray Salat al-Dhuhr when the heat is calming down a little bit. And that is because the intensity of the heat is from the hot winds of Jahannam. أَبْرِدُ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَإِنَّ شِدَّةَ الْحَرِّ مِنْ فِيحِ جَهَنَّمْ. So, Dhuhr, in the summer months, it is mustahab to delay it by an hour or two. So if Dhuhr comes in at, let's say, you know, 12:30, and it is the summer season, it is very, very hot, our Prophet ﷺ encouraged that delay it till 2 o'clock, whenever, a little bit colder, so that it's easier to pray. And he said that the heat of this world is from the hot winds of Jahannam. And in the hadith in Bukhari as well, our Prophet ﷺ said that once Jahannam complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Jahannam said that because of the intensity of my heat, some parts of me are destroying other parts, some parts are eating other parts. So Allah allowed two exits, two escapes for Jahannam. And one breath comes out in the cold, and one breath comes out in the winter time. And so in this hadith, we learn that Jahannam is breathing. Jahannam is letting things in and out. And by the way, this hadith, it can be used to derive the coldness. I said there's nothing explicit about the punishment inside Jahannam. This hadith mentions the breath coming out. And the breath is freezing cold, from which you can derive that there is a place of Jahannam that is freezing cold. But as I said, to the best of my knowledge, I'm not aware of any hadith that mentions the descriptions of what is happening in the cold part of Jahannam. But the notion of Jahannam breathing and that impacting this world, this is in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, and we should not think too deeply about this. It is from the knowledge of the unseen. We will never understand, obviously, the realities of heaven and hell in this world. And this notion of linking, if somebody were to say that, oh, but summer and winter comes from our cycle of the earth and whatnot, and the distance of the sun and the moon, we say, indeed, it does. It's pretty obvious it does. But this is a metaphysical linking that our mind should not think too deeply about. And we trust in whatever Allah and His Messenger say. And we leave the asbab in one level and the metaphysical in another, and the two, how they come together, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, because Allah azza wa jal has created the physical and the metaphysical, and we can only see the physical, and we leave the metaphysical to our iman bil ghayb. And so we do believe that Jahannam is breathing in its own way. What does it mean to breathe? Allah knows. And we believe that that interpretation or that understanding of what it is breathing, it somehow affects our reality in this world, and we get a taste, a little bit of a taste of the realities of the extreme heat and the extreme cold when this seasons change, especially in the peripheral regions of the world. And we leave more than this to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to conclude, today we discussed a number of descriptions of Jahannam. We discussed the fact that Jahannam has seven doors. We discussed the fact that Jahannam is very deep, and it is very wide, and it is very big, and it is very vast. We also discussed the concept of the fuel of Jahannam, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions stones as being of the fuels of Jahannam. And we discuss some of the descriptions of the heat of Jahannam and the burning flames of Jahannam, and the asphyxiation and the smoke of Jahannam and the scalding water of Jahannam. And also we discuss the issue of the cold aspect as well, that is mentioned in indirectly in a number of traditions from the Sahaba, and in the issue of the breath of Jannah and Jahannam. And inshallah we'll continue. This is not, there's obviously more than this, we have to break it up. We will continue the descriptions of Jahannam. We'll have a part two, inshallah ta'ala, of the descriptions of Jahannam and the punishments of Jahannam in our next session. Until then, inshallah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep all of us safe. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya man ajabta du'a Nuhin fantasar wa hamaltahu fi fulkika al-mashhuni ya man أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كون